is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children. Glory to God. This is Sharon Sarles, and I'm so honored to be able to come here and share my heart with you. And this is what I want to tell you. God wants healing. God wants healing for you and for your children. Moms, good news. Dads, good news. That God's covenant with you covers your children. God wants healing. Hallelujah. Yes, I know this for sure. Let us look at Scripture. Let us start with Mark. Good place to start is the old story about Jesus. The gospel, according to St. Mark, in the first chapter and the 32nd verse. Jesus had started his ministry. He had called some disciples. He was visiting with Simon's family, and he healed Simon's mother-in-law. Oh, we'll start there at 30. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him, Jesus, of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered to them. So she got up and she served a table. I just know that's the way parties work, and I would really like to be serving at the table if my son-in-law, the good fisherman, owns a fishing syndicate, then he's having the greatest rabbi. I want to be there. Okay. Let me switch over to my New American Standard, because I think that what's coming up is easier to understand for so many people who speak modern English. Okay, so picking this up, Mark 1, 34, and he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. Now, there are other places, like over in Matthew, where it says, Matthew 8 and 16, he healed them all. But let's stay with this, all right? And in the early morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. We see this many times in the scripture that Jesus is dealing with a multitude, a crowd, right? Healing lots of people, and or teaching a lot of people. And he slips away to pray quietly across the night. And verse 36, and Simon and his companions hunted for him, Jesus. And they found him, and they said to him, everyone is looking for you. And Jesus said to them, let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby in order I might preach there also. For this is what I came for. Do you see that Jesus is eager? Let's go on to the next town. These guys have heard. Let's go. 39, and he went into their synagogue throughout all Galilee. This was the northern part of the nation, preaching and casting out demons, or proclaiming, right? And verse 40, and a leper came to him, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Hallelujah. So, if you begin to wonder, why here, not all? Well, it doesn't say here. But it certainly doesn't give any indication. Was it because that Jesus was not willing? Specifically, this is a case of leper, right? Leper, the most terrible thing in that society was a leper. He was not simply healed, but cleansed. This was considered the most gross, the most dirty, the most terrible. So terrible that lepers had to announce ahead of them, leper coming, so people could stay away. This was how terrible it was. Jesus said he was willing. Moved with compassion. Jesus had compassion. He had love, compassion. And he stretched out his hand and he touched him. Do you realize? Touched him? This was not according to the way things were done in that society, and most especially not for a rabbi. He touched him and he said to him, I am willing. Be cleansed. See the eagerness of Jesus. to proclaim the good news, to go out and proclaim it, to be compassionate, to cleanse, to cast out demons, and to heal. And we know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. No, this was not simply only Jesus' ministry, but it did characterize Jesus' ministry. Read the Gospels and see if you can just excise and throw out all the healing stories. No, this was clearly part of Jesus' ministry. And in Acts 10 and 38, let's just go there. Clearly, the disciples are, or the apostles then, are explaining Jesus' ministry in light of these healing miracles. Acts 10 and 38. And so Paul is talking to, it's Peter, Simon Peter, who's explaining Christian faith to Cornelius, who is not a Jew, okay, the Italian and Roman. So in 10 and 38, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all the things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. This is Peter. It was his mother-in-law who was healed. And he's explaining Jesus to Cornelius by saying, God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good, healing all. So this is the Jesus that we know. Jesus is willing, and healing is part of salvation, very clearly. Hallelujah. I was talking with a young man. I just chatted randomly with him because of his shirt, and it had death messages all over it, and so I was asking him about that. And he told me that, you know, he thought it was a good idea to sort of make peace with death because life is death. Okay, and so along in our talk, I talked about how people got miraculously healed, and he didn't believe that that actually happened. And I said, well, sure it does. It happens all the time. He said, well, if that has ever happened, how come it hasn't been on the news? I said, well, because that's not what the kind of news that is reported on the news, but it's on television. You know, I named some big ministries. I said, that ministry particular one has a broadcast every day, three times a day, and very often you can see people getting healed on that. Maybe you haven't seen it because you haven't been looking. I didn't actually speak that directly to him, but you don't believe people get healed? Open your ears. People clearly got healed in Jesus' ministry. You can't really say you know the story of Jesus if you don't know that. And it was happening to the early disciples. Sure it was, you know. Acts 5 and 5. We'll just flip back here. So these very same people who were dense in Mark, Acts 5 and 5. No, it isn't either. Let's try Acts 5 and 15. Okay. So let's go back to 12. And at the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. That's a place in the temple. But none of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women, were constantly added to their number to such an extent they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets, so that when Peter came by, now this is the same Simon, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. And the people, and also the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem, were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. Would you bring your sick family member out into the streets, out there with the dust and the animal dung? Remember, the vehicles of transportation were horse-drawn. Well, yeah, if you thought they were going to be healed. And apparently they were all healed. This same Simon, who had Jesus over for dinner is now himself being a healer. And hey, that's what is supposed to happen. We're supposed to be disciples. We meet Jesus, then we become disciples, and then we're supposed to be ministers out in the world. Disciples turn into apostles in a way. So the young man who didn't believe that people get healed, well, why don't I see that on the news? I'm saying, well, maybe it's because you don't look for it. There are big name ministers and then there are no name ministers. And people who are not even recognized as ministers are praying and seeing people healed. I'm remembering someone else who was saying, well, God hasn't healed me yet. And I watch, same big name ministry, every day hoping he'll call my name out. But she spent her whole life, besides watching that broadcast, spewing out resentment and hate and unbelief, right? How much did she believe God? She knew that God could heal and she knew that God was God, but did she respect him? Did she seek him? Did she read the Bible? Did she have faith on her own? She was just laying on her couch. She did take, praise God, I'll give her credit, she took half an hour out of her day to watch a ministry show on television. And she's just waiting for that guy to call her name out. God hasn't healed me yet. Well, she should know better that that's not the way it works. Well, God heals some and not others. But that's not what it said here, okay? He does heal all, and he is willing. Well, God hasn't healed me yet. Oh, that's not true either. When did God heal you? Over in Peter. Oh, same guy. Peter. We got a Peter theme going. Let's go over to Peter. How about 1 Peter 2 and 24. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Saint Peter, quoting Isaiah 53, and clearly putting in the past tense here. He himself, God himself in the person of Jesus the Messiah, bore our sins on his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds ye were healed. You see how intricately connected healing is with salvation, forgiveness from sin. It's all salvation. Salvation is rescue. You know, and just to be partially rescued is not to be rescued, right? If I were stuck in the mud, stuck in the mire, such that it was so sucking me down, and pretty soon I was going to be swallowed up and suffocated, and my dad came in, pulled me out partway, would that be good enough? No, I want to be pulled out all the way. Right? I want to be pulled out all the way from the muck and mire, the sin and brokenness of the world. And God our Father has done that. We were little children and we got stuck in the mire, right? But he pulled us out. Hallelujah. And he not just partway, he pulled us all the way out. So receive it. God healed you, past tense. So it's not God might be willing. And it's not God might heal me or might maybe in the future. No, God has healed you in on Calvary. By his stripes, by his wounds, you were healed, past tense. Yes, it takes a fight of faith. Yes, it does. Receive it. You know, that leper had to be rather bold to go up and ask Jesus, because he wasn't supposed to be anywhere. He was supposed to be announcing himself so that people could stay away. Peter, what was Peter doing hosting the rabbi in his house? Wasn't that the same guy who said, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinner." He had allowed Jesus to use his boat, and then Jesus paid him back with some fish, and Peter didn't really receive that too well. But he recognized, here is something miraculous, this master. And he learned from him, and he invited to his home. And his family was healed, his mother-in-law in this case. He had a new life, and he went out preaching, and himself was the carrier of the Holy Spirit who healed people. And he explained the salvation even beyond his people to Cornelius. And to us today, he explains it. Let us follow Peter. Impetuous Peter. Right? And some people have thought I was impetuous. Took me aside in the past few years and said, now, Sharon, you ought to realize, like we do, who've been around a little longer than you have, that really not everybody gets healed. You need to understand. They were trying to teach me. I said, no, this is what the Word of God says. They thought they were teaching me the Word of God. And they said, okay, Sharon, now, you know, we've actually been, well, let's just put in here, most famous Bible college. And we actually know. You need to understand, not everybody gets healed. I said, oh, really? He said, well, I said, no, as far as I know, everybody I pray for gets healed. He said, Sharon, when did you first read Kenneth Hagin? I said, well, you know what? I didn't learn healing from Kenneth Hagin. I guess I just showed up on earth believing in healing. But I read Kenneth Hagin, The Authority of the Believer, for the first time when I was 14. And you can just put in whatever name of your group's most famous Bible teacher. Just put in whatever name you want in the story. 14. I said, yes, and since then, we have been praying for people. People, you know, the friends of and I, you know, we believed in that church. And when I was 14 and when I was 20 and whatever, all by that time, he was already down the hall. Because his correction was being corrected. Here I stand, and I'm going to pray in faith. Now, there was a time when I thought I was a little bit smart and question the Word of God. You know what? Those were not the best years of my life. So I have taken my stand. I have decided to have faith in God. Now, if many get healed instead of all, well, let's look in the Word and see why. Okay? But it's not because God is not willing. And it's not because the work of Calvary is not finished. Right? Or something about God is imperfect. No, God wants you healed. God did his part. Maybe a little bit more, yeah? God coming as a human being, who would have ever thought? And died the death of cursing under the law. You know, a curse is everyone who hangs under a tree, and took all of our sin and was whipped. Chastisement necessary for our shalom was on him, and by his wounds we were healed, right? So this is what I know, and this is the wisdom I move in, and hallelujah, I have seen it. I have been healed. I have seen my family healed, and I have seen other people healed. People I pray for get healed. I have also seen many people reject healing. I have seen many people reject being prayed for. I don't know why. Why are you so frightened? Even people who know me, who don't know me, people in service, people in a church, and as of course, people out of a church, say, no, I don't want you to pray for me. People in my office come crying about their children. And so I try to comfort them. I say, would you like me to pray for you? You know, sort of in closing. No. All right, so I don't get that. That I don't understand, but I do feel that people have a choice, right? So, glory to God. I don't understand all things, but the Word of God, I choose to believe, and I have seen results of that belief. Hallelujah. So, like Peter, you may think I'm impetuous. Go right ahead. So, Peter found himself in the drink. But, hey, he was the one who got out of the boat. Will you join me? Will you join Peter? Let's go hang out with Jesus. It can only do us good. it can only do us good. Jesus is willing for people to be healed. I want to bring my child and myself and my grandchildren and everybody else I can to go up and be blessed of Jesus. Let's get healed. Let's get taught. Let's be blessed. And let's hang out until we are like Jesus. Hallelujah. And we can explain Jesus and we can demonstrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Sounds like a good plan to me. God wants you and your children healed. God wants you and your children, like Peter, to be able to explain this and to bring it to other people. So I have been as real with you as I can. I invite you to walk with Jesus. I invite you into a life of discipleship to Jesus. People who walk with Jesus have a different path. It's a different life. It's a glorious life. I invite you into a life directed and guided, led by the Holy Spirit. A life full of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, whether it's the gift of healing or a gift of miracles or other gifts. I invite you into a life of ministry, of service, not just to your family, certainly if you're a parent, but also to the world. It's a wonderful life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your great project. Thank you for inviting us into it. And now, Lord, I speak healing over my listeners for them and for their children and for their family. Healing, wholeness, prosperity, nothing missing, nothing broken. Oh, Lord, let us receive your will for us. Let us speak your will and demonstrate your will in our world. We thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
God wants you healed. We know this for many reasons. Read why in Sister Sharon's new book, God Wants You Healed. Turn away doubts and receive healing. It is not God's plan for any child to have pain or deficiency. Stop believing stories and get one step closer to God and healing by understanding God wants you healed. Send $15 to P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630.
I have noticed that no one before has attempted to make a healing ministry for children. My guess is that there are two reasons. One is that it only takes one family to misunderstand or to misuse the teaching in such a way that they harm their child, and then the government comes after the preacher. And secondly, there's never been all that many children who needed healing. Of course, if your child needs healing, that's the whole world. But to fill up a large room, today that's not hard. I have always said, I believe in healing and I will take it any way it comes. So I am telling you to listen to the Holy Spirit, to consult the Word for yourself and listen to the Holy Spirit. And if you feel it in your child's best interest to use a provider like a physician, and you have faith, that's where your faith is, you can pray God's blessing over that. Fine. But also I want to point out that science is now catching up to the Word of God. Contrary to common public opinion, science has never discredited the Bible, but rather the reverse. Every time there's an archaeological discovery, it corroborates the words of Scripture. no matter how many times people tell you the opposite. And today, widely, the mind-body connection is known and discussed. In fact, just yesterday I was reading about epigenes. Epigenes. It appears today that choices are more important than genes, that there is something called epigenes that come from the pattern of your choices that overrule and override your genes, thus says science. I would submit to you that we have always been on firmer ground, more firm ground, when we have believed the word of God rather than followed the fashion of science. But I will further submit to you that science now corroborates and confirms. I have had psychiatrists, no less, stand outside of a hospital room and wait for me because they thought that my ministration, simply because I was a minister, but simply because I was a clergy person, that I could probably do more for their patient, and were willing to wait on me to talk to the patient. That's amazing. But I will submit to you further that often today conventional thinking has nothing to do with science. It was based on conventional thinking, standard of care, a model, a system of greed on the one hand and laziness on the other that enslaved us. But God has spoken an exodus to us in the coming of Jesus, in the pronouncing of faith and hope and blessing and love. Does this seem like a dark hour? Nevertheless, the Lord's light has dawned, and I am here to tell you that God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.